Amen. Psalm 27 tonight for a few moments. Psalm 27. So let's see what the Lord has for us. I believe this is where He's directed us, burdened our heart to preach from tonight. Psalm 27. I hope you're glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. No better place in the world to be than among God's people in His house. In fact, it's kind of what we want to preach on tonight, if the Lord will be our helper. Psalm 27, and I want to maybe read. I don't know how much this we're going to read. I want to reference all of it, or at least just draw your attention to some themes that are found in this psalm for us tonight. But it has a special place in my heart in the sense that every now and then, and you don't see this as much now as you did when I was growing up, but asking a preacher to sign your Bible was a big thing for us growing up. And I don't even know if we ought to be doing that, but this kind of got started somewhere. And every now and then somebody come up, ask me to sign their Bible. If they do, when they do, I always put a reference in there to this psalm, verse 4 in particular, where David said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." And so there was something about the house of God in the life of David that he was desirous of. And though he had been raised around it and raised in it, he had not got so familiar with it where it became a casual thing. It was still a spiritual relationship in his life that he desired and longed for. And I want to deal with that this evening, if the Lord would be our helper. And I've already read the verse, but notice with me in verse number 5, you can remain seated tonight, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted. I love this verse. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And we preached this psalm in its entirety, just line upon line, in days gone by many years ago. And even since we've done that, I'm sure we have preached from this psalm different thoughts. It's just full of truths that we need for the day that we're living in. This psalm, we find that David, he is going through a time of difficulty that even has brought him nigh unto despair. He talks in this psalm about the wicked having come up upon me, verse 2, to eat my flesh. He talks about the hosts that should encamp against him. He talks about war rising up against him. And he talks about the time of trouble. In verse number 5, he speaks about the enemy again. In verse number 12, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. He speaks of false witnesses that have been brought against him and have risen up against him. And so David is in this psalm, he's got a lot of things that are going against him in his life and in the world that he lives in. We can identify with those things as we live our life. Man is a few days and full of trouble, Job said. And we understand that many be the afflictions of the righteous, and we have enemies, and we have encampments that are against us and wars that rise against us. And we can identify, just simply said tonight, I don't belabor this point too much, but we can identify with hardship in life as David lays that out in his life. This evening, I'm interested for our thought in verse number 5, where David said, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. He speaks of the secret of his tabernacle, that it's there in the pavilion and the tabernacle, Brother Tim, that David was trusting that God was going to send him hiding and help in this time of his life. He's going to be helped from the pavilion and the tabernacle. The word pavilion that is used here in this text literally means a cover or a hiding place. A place, listen to this, a place where a person can be undetected. And so David is saying, I know that the Lord is able to bring me to a place where I can function without being detected by the enemy, that the Lord is going to hide me and help me in this particular place. Here in this text and in this verse, this word pavilion is used to describe the very protective shield of God's presence. And God is going to shield him and protect him and guard him from the embattlements that the enemy has set against his life. And so this pavilion is very important to the life and the well-being of David. Without the pavilion, David is going to fall in the battle. Without the pavilion, without this place that David can run to for refuge, David is surely not going to make it. And then he describes this place again in the next line of the same verse of this psalm about the secret of his tabernacle. And the word tabernacle just simply means a tent, that God is going to bring David into God's tent. And a tent is as the dwelling place of God, a direct reference here in this verse to the house of the Lord found in the previous verse. When he mentions a tabernacle, this is the abode of God. In David's day, it's a reference to where they would come collectively to worship God as the people of God. Then David said, I am going to be hid away in the house of the Lord. I'm going to be hid where God dwells. I'm going to that place that I have this same desire to dwell in all the days of my life. And this place that David had been raised around, this place that David from a little child had played in the dirt floors around the tabernacle, now as an old man, as a mature man, may we say, and now he is faced with his own difficulties of life and his own seasons that he's going through that have brought hardship and battle against him. He now realizes that it is this place of the pavilion and the tabernacle that is so needed in his life. I'm interested tonight in this pavilion and this tabernacle. Another word found in verse number 5 to get our thought from that stands out to me this afternoon. And it's the word secret. David said, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. And so there is a secret about this pavilion and this tabernacle, this place that David is going to be covered and shielded and be able to move about undetected by the enemy. David calls this place a secret of his tabernacle. The word secret simply means something hid or concealed from notice or knowledge of all persons except the individual or individuals concerned. Let me read that again to you tonight. A secret is something that is hid or concealed from notice or knowledge of all persons except for the individual or individuals concerned. And so when David references the pavilion, in particular the tabernacle, as a secret thing, the secrets of this particular place, what he is saying is there is a place that pertains to me. There is a place that pertains to my relationship with God, and which has been things that are there that are secrets that pertain not to the world and not to carnal people and not the worldlings and heathens, but to me as one of his children, I know the secret of his tabernacle. I'm glad tonight there is a place in the house of God that pertains to you as a child of God this evening and to me, in which there are secrets that are there for you and I. And my friend, if we didn't have these secrets, if we didn't know this secret tonight, not just showing up, but drawing the things that are there that pertain to us and our relationship with God so that we can live and survive in this life that God has given us, that my friend, we'd have bailed out and been done in a long time ago. Amen. We call this tonight the secret of his tabernacle. I'm preaching tonight, if I can go ahead and give you my thought. And I want to throw a few more things out, and we'll give you some things to think about in this psalm in relationship to the thought. But I want to preach to you for a few moments tonight on the secrets of the sanctuary. The secrets of the sanctuary. There are things that are secrets tonight. And from time to time, we have people that visit our church. And sometimes those folk, they're not saved people. They are not in the family of God. And they come in and they observe the things that take place. And there may be some wonderment of what in the world is going on. These people act like they like being screamed at and offering plates shoved in their face to take their money. And they act like they enjoy being around the sanctuary. And they don't understand that. The carnal man, the carnal eye, the fleshly nature of man comes into a religious center. And it's more than religion when they come in the house of God. And they're actually being witness to things they cannot understand. But you and I that are saved tonight, we know the secrets. And we appreciate the secrets, and we're confident tonight in this matter of the house of God and the importance of it in our life. I'd hate to think about where I'd be tonight were it not for the sanctuary. I understand it's God that helps us from day to day. I'll never understand for the life of me how people can miss a third of the services we have in any given year and how they can survive spiritually without a connection to the house of God. That doesn't compute in my mind. Amen. That doesn't register in my inward man that is saved that you could, my friend, miss so many services and function out in an ungodly world detached from the secrets of the sanctuary. Now you can get mad at me, that'd be fine. You won't be the first one, but you know I'm telling it right. And David is at a place in his life where he's realizing, I need this place more than I've ever needed it before. Amen. And may I say, you'll get to a place one of these days you realize, amen, you'll need the house of God more than you've ever needed it in your life. There have been days where I didn't even think I could get there. There have been days I didn't even know if I wanted to be here. I'd somehow find my way to the house of God and get plugged in. What David is talking about, the secret of his tabernacle, only to find that what I thought I couldn't make it to or didn't even know I wanted to make it to was the very thing I needed the most in my life at that moment in time. For it's difference there that God bestowed things at. You can't buy it down at the shelf at the Walmart. Amen. And you can't find down at the Dollar General on the clearance rack. Amen. And boy, there's Dollar Generals everywhere, but they ain't got what we need to cause us to survive in the world that we're living in. And if we make it to the house of God along the way, ain't it amazing? There are things we find there that are hid away in God's house, in God's pavilion, in that place known as the tabernacle of God, that when we get a hold of those things, my friend, we find that that was exactly what we needed to face what we're going through. Amen. I understand people get sick. I understand people have issues, but I'm more convinced than I've ever been. You can get mad. I ain't trying to preach, get you mad. I'm going to help us tonight. Amen. But I'm just convinced that most folk, they look for a reason not to come. Amen. Yet David, having been raised in it, he ain't looking for a reason not to come. He's got a desire to get there. Amen. Amen. Why? Because he knew the importance of those secrets that were there. Amen. If you know the secrets, if you appreciate the secrets of the sanctuary, amen, it'll drive you, and nothing else will, to be down the house of God even when you don't think you can make it. Amen. I just don't feel good, preacher. Amen. Half the time I show up, I don't feel good, but I still show up. Amen. Somebody help me now. Why? Why would a man do that? Because they secrets here.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm not talking about no stupid Masonic lodge secret handshakes and, amen, symbols and signs. Them dudes are idiots. And I know I'm on the radio and you can write in and tell me what you want. Amen. Listen, we had secret handshakes when I was a boy. When I began to be a man, we put away the secret handshakes. Masonic lodge, my hind leg, Tony Hutchins say. Amen. We're not talking about secret societies. We're talking about God's children being able to come to a place where God ministers to us in a very particular way, in very particular seasons of our life, and that David would find here in this pavilion something in the tabernacle, something in the sanctuary that was reserved and concealed away for him as one of God's children. And I say it again tonight, I'm amazed at the help and the ways that God has ministered those secrets into my life in the sanctuary to fight, and it would be exactly what I needed in times of my life. This is why when you come in the New Testament, the command to us is simply forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Some have abandoned the church tonight. There are people that don't have a heart for the secrets of the sanctuary. Amen. And that crowd wonders why they're dying spiritually. They wonder why they're being brought down by the enemies on every hand. They wonder why the devil's smacking their brains out. I understand you can be saved and not be faithful to church. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. You cannot be unfaithful to church and be a strong, spiritual-minded child of God. And so we have a command to be here, Dad. And that's not just for a bunch of religious rules and regulations. Brother Larry, it is for the ministering of the secrets that God has for us in this place to minister those things into our life. Amen. Amen. I hope this is making sense, the secrets of the sanctuary. And so David said, there's one desire I have. What would you have God do for you tonight? If God were to give you one desire, your greatest desire tonight, I wonder what it is we would say. David's pretty dogmatic about it, Brother Maurice. He said, there is one thing that I have desired of the Lord. I don't need God to do a handful of things. I don't need God to, do hundreds or dozens of things for me. There is one desire in this season of my life with the enemies that have encamped themselves about me and the things that I'm going through and the despair that I feel prone to fall praying to. There is one desire I have, and if God would let me have that one desire, I know that there will be many things that flow from that and will sustain me and enable me to wait on God in this time of war. Amen. One thing if I desire to the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Amen. David said, I don't want to be a has-been. I don't want to be one of these wishy-washy in and out. Amen. Bump in for a while, bump out for a while. Amen. I'm telling you, there's no spirituality in that. David said, I have a desire, amen, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. In other words, David said, I don't want to miss it. If it's open, I want to be there. Amen. If there's something going on in my life on the outside, I know if I can make it down there, no matter what's going on in my life, if it's good or bad, I need the secrets of the house of God. So he said, this desire I have is that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Right. Amen. David, why would that be your desire? Why wouldn't you ask for a newer, sharper sword? Why wouldn't you ask for a thicker, more protective shield? And David say, well, all that would be fine and good, but it wouldn't nearly compare to the beauty of the Lord that I have seen in the house of God. Amen. Amen. You see, there's beauty in these secrets I'm getting ready to show you tonight. There's a beauty in watching God work in our life what he only works in our life in the house of God. Amen. Yeah. Amen. There are some people, they try to sound super duper spiritual. I've met them on their doorsteps in our own town. Well, I don't go to church and all. You know, we are the church. We are the church. I am the church. Amen. And so me and God, we sit down in my living room, and that's where I have church. And me and God go up on the mountain, and I have church, me and God, because I am the church. Amen. You are so doctrinally ignorant if that is your mentality. Amen. That is somebody who knows nothing of the beauty of the secrets of being in the house of God. I've seen God do things in church that this world ain't ever seen in a ball stadium. I've had God work in my life ways that go beyond, amen, what this world will ever know in a concert. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, there are things that are beautiful. There are things that are divine. There are things that are providential that God's children can find out in the house of God. And David said, I have one desire. I'm seeking after that desire. That desire is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, so that I can behold the beauty of the Lord. It's amazing what people have missed church for. I know I'm preaching the choir. You're here tonight, amen? And so you go tell the crowd that didn't show up what the pastor said, all right? That'd be all right. But let's get it in our heart tonight. Let's appreciate the truth. And the truth is this. David said, there's things I get there I cannot get anywhere else in life. Amen. David said, there's some inquiring relationship between me and God when I'm able to be at his house. And we understand tonight that we can pray, and we ought to be praying everywhere and every day and at all times in everything. Paul said, in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. We understand we're to always be instant in prayer tonight. And so we pray everywhere we go, but there's something special about the house of God where we can inquire of the Lord and pray and seek his face. And in this place, we preached on it this morning, and Jesus in the temple of his day, I'm quoting from Isaiah 56:7 when he said, "And God has wrote it down, my house shall be called the house of prayer." that we would be able to commune with God in a unique way in His house that is special, that and my friend is done in a way that God ministers to us like He does no other time. David said that happens down at the house of God. Now, some of my best times with the Lord has been when I've been all alone. But some of the things, I'm going to be honest with you, some of the things where God has sustained me right on time in due season of my life, it has been God ministering to me through the sanctuary. There have been times I've come in, I couldn't pray. I was trying to pray. I couldn't pray on my own and somehow dragged my tracks out, sent my tail down in the house of God and began to hear God's people sing and watch God's people fellowship and began to feel the stirring of the Spirit, and you ain't felt nothing all week long. And then somewhere in a service, somewhere through the house of God, God began to minister to your soul, and some sainted woman of God stand up and say, "I just want to brag on the Lord and praise the name of Jesus." And some sainted man of God began to stand and say, "I just want to speak a word for the Lord." And all of a sudden around the house of God, when my friend, it seemed like there was no hope in sight, you began to be ministered to in the sanctuary. That is what David is talking about in verse 4 and in verse number 5 about the secrets of this sanctuary. And David knows it is vital to the victory of his life. The secrets of the sanctuary. This evening, notice with me that these secrets of the sanctuary, they are known and experienced in the time of trouble. Here's what I've heard through the years, 20-something years of pastoring now. Preacher, things are not well in my family, in my life. I think I'm going to have to start missing church. I'm going to get out of the choir, and I'm going to get out of the prayer room, and I'm going to give up my Sunday school class. I'm not going to be able to be as faithful as I used to be. And yet these secrets of the sanctuary, they are for us at all times, but they're there particularly for us in the time of trouble. So what David said, in the time of trouble, he's going to hide me in his pavilion. It's in the time of trouble that the secret of his tabernacle is where I'm going to be hid away yet, and my soul ministered unto. And let's be honest, we know what times of trouble are. We can talk about sin trouble. Amen. We all experience that in the world we live in. How prone we are to wander, how prone we are to get away from God, how prone we are, my friend, to wind up in sin trouble. I'm talking about tonight, if you ain't careful, your life can wind up in a trouble with sin, my friend, overnight, and just not dealing with things, you can get further from God than you think you can. David said in time of trouble, I want to say tonight, if your trouble is connected to sin, I'm thankful there are secrets for you in the sanctuary. How many times have you been crossed up with God in sin? And my friend, you went down the house of God and nobody in the world knew what you had been doing. But God had the man of God, amen, preach and do everything but call your name out. You know what you just experienced? The secret of the sanctuary. And in a time of sin trouble, amen, we have a connection with God in His house where, my friend, though it be our own doing, God will minister to us in that hour of sin trouble. Amen. Amen. What about this evening, not only sin trouble, but what about secret trouble? What about things going on in your life that is turbulent and tumultuous in your life and nobody else knows about? You bore it in your heart. You bore it in your mind. And you and you alone, or you and just a handful know what is going on in your life. And there are secrets that people bear. I'm not talking about sinful things or wicked things. I'm just talking about those unspoken requests that you don't even feel like you can share in the sanctuary. Ain't it amazing how God will have a song sung that'll minister to you just like you need? God will have somebody testify about what God brought them through, and you didn't even know they was going through what they were going through at. And yet in the house of God, God ministers the secret of the sanctuary in times of trouble. Oh, secret troubles we bear, and though the preacher doesn't know, oh, your best friend doesn't know, and maybe even your family doesn't even know what's going on in your heart and the trouble that's in your life, there's a God in heaven that knows, that ministers to us in his sanctuary. What a blessing tonight. What about sickness trouble? What about when your health is failing? Amen. You've been the doctor and you've been told there ain't much we can do about this, and then they begin to treat you like a guinea pig, and you like the woman with the issue of blood, you've been years and you ain't got no better and you've grown worse. I'm glad tonight in time of sickness, trouble. Listen, I understand sickness sometimes holds us out. Amen. I've missed services because I've been sick. I've also showed up when I've been sick too. Amen. And y'all didn't give me sick pay when I did. Amen. Y'all owe me something. All right. I preach sick, I preach with headaches, I preach, amen, where I threw up before I come out here and threw up when I went back, and I understand, amen, I understand I'm just wired different than most people, all right? Some of y'all, you stub your toe, you lay out for 3 weeks, amen. Want to be anointed with, you don't even ask to be anointed with oil, but it's, amen, the way you carry on, we ought to anoint you with oil. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to rattle that cage. But there are sickness troubles that come to us in life. I'm learning that. I didn't know that when I was in youngin's age over there. You kind of watch people limp around and gimpy, and amen, they got all these prayer requests and sound like a mile long, and you, amen, when you're young, you don't understand the day's coming. You're going to get old and wore out, and you're not 10 foot tall and bulletproof, and you can't, amen, you can't stop speeding trains. You're not faster than a speeding bullet. Amen. Day comes, we all, amen, before you get out of this life, if you live long enough, you're going to know something about sickness trouble. Do you know what I'm thankful for? Bring all that trouble in times of trouble. You can bring all that in the house of the Lord. I've watched God heal people. I'm not talking about charismatic, spooky stuff. I ain't talking about Benny Hinn breathing on you and smacking you in the head. I'm talking about people getting down the house of God who were sick, who had need of a healing miracle in their life. They just kept on showing up to church, and God heard their prayer at the house of God. And I believe God healed them in church. Amen. What about soul trouble? Amen. What about soul trouble? David is faced with that being a part of the trouble that's in his life. He speaks of the fact that there is fear that and is being tempted to embrace that. And that there is this sense of worry and being afraid that and is taking place in his soul. And I think about soul trouble. I think about when the soul begins to be disturbed and depression and anxiety can creep in upon the soul and the mind. And what a trouble that is for people to endure and to go through. But can I tell you something tonight? I've watched God minister to my life. I've watched God minister to others. In the house of God, even though they had soul trouble, and God in one service could minister to them far greater than any bottle of pills could, not against pills. Y'all know my opinion about that. Amen. We like most of us, amen, we like most of us better when we're on our medication than when we're not. Let me tell you something. I've watched people take pills and still wind up with soul trouble going on the inside. There's some things, my friend, only the providence of God ministering to can help. Amen. How we doing? I'm not just rambling tonight. I'm preaching. I'm talking about the secrets of the sanctuary are for our lives in time of trouble. Amen. That's when you need the house of God most of all. Amen. For these secrets, David desired to dwell in the house of the Lord. The secrets of the sanctuary. There's a secret connected to God's salvation, verses 1 through 3. A connection to God's salvation. David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." And so, my friend, it's at the house of God. David is reminded of God's salvation in his life. Amen. And I understand tonight that this is about salvation in sense of from day to day. We that are God's children have been saved, are being saved, and thank God shall be saved. I'm thankful for that trifold work of the grace of God that is in our life. Amen. We have been saved. I'm talking about I am saved tonight. My soul is saved. I'm not working towards salvation. Amen. The Lord is my salvation. How can you declare that? Because I know what I once was. I know where I once was headed. I know the condition I once was in. I thank God when the Lord came by my way. Amen. He saved me by his grace. Said, and he worked that in my life. And ever since, my friend, I turned and I trusted him and confessed my sin. Thank God I'm glad that he saved me, and I've been saved ever since. Amen. That's something you'll be reminded of when you show up to church. That's why we constantly preach the gospel. That's why we're always preaching salvation messages. It's for sinners, but it's for saints. You need to be reminded that he's your Savior. He did for you what you could not do for yourself. Amen. You and yourself was headed to hell and deserved all the hell that was coming your way. But my friend, Jesus reached down and saved you and reached down and rescued you. And I'm telling you, in the sanctuary, we're reminded of that secret, that connection that we have with God. It becomes a reality over again in our life around the house of God. And we say, "The Lord is my salvation." And because we know we have been saved, we know that he's saving us in this very day over every hand of every enemy. Over every weapon that has been formed against us. David said, "Even when the wicked had showed up around my life and my foes came on every side, they came upon me to eat up my flesh." And he said, "They stumbled and fell." David said, "Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." What David is saying is, "I know and God is at work in my life, and he is going to bring deliverance to me over every enemy in battle that is about me." This evening in the house of God, that is a secret that we are plugged into, and we don't have to live our life in fear, and we don't have to live it being afraid. We don't have to live it void of victory. Amen. We can be confident. David said, "I'll be confident even though the enemy and the war is raging against me." Why? Not because he's confident in self. It's not confidence in himself. It's not confidence in his experience. It's not confidence in his know-how. It's not confidence in what everybody else thinks and says about it. His confidence is in God. Amen. Amen. We learn that and are plugged into that secret of God's salvation in the sanctuary. There is this secret of God's steadfastness, verses 4 through 10. I won't belabor it line upon line tonight. It's simply put, we find the steadfastness of God. David said it's in the pavilion, it's in the tabernacle, it's the secret of the sanctuary in which God lifts me out of the sinking sand of my situation and sets me upon a rock. The end of verse number 5. Amen. There's a steadfastness, David said, a stability that God brings to my life as a result of the solid foundations that I'm able to know and experience in the house of God. And I tell you what we're preaching tonight, this world knows nothing about. Amen. They're in sinking sand. Their lives are drowning. And yet the child of God is available to them the doctrines of eternal truth and the doctrines of the grace of God upon which we stand tonight, absolutely stable, steadfast in God's steadfastness in our life. Amen. We're not weary tonight. We may get weary every now and then, but thank God we have a steadfastness that we're reminded of, a secret. There is a song in verse number 6. There is a seeking in verse 7 and in verse number 8. And in verse number 8, there is a loyalty in which David depends upon in verse number 9 and 10. And he said, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father, listen to this, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. I'll tell you a secret of the sanctuary, my friend, is it's there God reminds you of his steadfastness in your life, that he will be loyal to you no matter who else is. David said if that bond between father and mother would ever be severed, even the Lord would still be loyal to me. And I tell you tonight, your God is a faithful God. That's why we say much about it when we have services. Now, we preach a lot of things, but you know what we're reminded of when we show up here every service? You know what we're reminded of? Our God is a faithful God. He's faithful. Amen. He's here. He's there. I told somebody this week, I said, the situation you're in, they were saying, I just feel alone. I feel like I'm alone. I'm all alone. I said, I'm going to tell you something. Number one, you're not alone. You may feel like you're alone, but there are others that are in your situation with you. And whether you acknowledge it or realize it or can see it tonight, God is smack dab in the middle of your situation. God is with you. Ain't that a blessing tonight? Now listen, that's the secret of the sanctuary that we are reminded of and plugged into that'll help you on tomorrow. That you can say, boy, I learned on the Lord's Day, he's with me. Amen. I barely made it in. I was like, oh, Asaph, my foot almost slipped. I almost quit and walked away. But when I found myself in the house of God, that's where I was reminded that the Lord is steadfast in my life. Amen. There's a secret of God's statutes, verse number 11. I won't take time to preach it, but he said, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. You want to know one of the secrets you'll find in the house of God? You'll find the word of the Lord declared to your life just as you are and just as it is, bold and plain. Here it is, black and white. The Lord will teach you. We're not Catholic tonight. We don't believe in some bishopric that has a hierarchy and a priesthood that we can attain to. We believe every one of God's children have been made priests unto God. Amen. Any other doctrine, any other way is heresy, according to that book. Are you listening? Amen. There is no such thing as a hierarchy. Amen. But I will tell you this, there is authority in the church whereby it is the pillar and the ground of the truth. and we examine, and the pastor holds you accountable to the Word of God. You hold the pastor accountable to the Word of God, and it's in the sanctuary the Word of God is magnified and uplifted. My friend, becomes the statutes that we get plugged into our life, and God teaches us how to live our life from day to day. Where does he do that? Down at the house of God. I know you can read the book for yourself. You know it for yourself. Amen. But I tell you what the church does. The church keeps you in line with those guardrails. Amen. I'm done preaching. But we've had folk come through and they start getting off in ditches in false doctrines. Calvinism, hyperdispensationalism, weird stuff sometimes. You know what the church is for? To rein that stuff back in. To rein it back in. Not just because the pastor's the pastor, but because the pastor preaches the book. The book and the statutes of the Word of God bring everything into a balance. Amen. So on your own, you may, not that you can't know it, and not that you shouldn't read it and know it and study it for yourself. Amen. But if you're not careful, you'll start falling prey and into some doctrine you heard somebody else say. And you'll start scratching your head on that. And then you come down the church and you'll hear the man of God take the Word of God and expose that for what it is, an error. And I'm going to tell you, that's a secret of the house of God, to keep us doctrinally pure and right with the Word of God. Amen. I'm thankful for it. Amen. Ain't no telling what you believe tonight if you went, amen, if it didn't matter where we went to church and where we showed up and where and who we allowed to teach us. Ain't no telling what you'd believe tonight. You'd be eating wafers and letting somebody rub ash on your forehead. Ain't you glad you're not deceived tonight? I'm telling you tonight, that book has the answers, and it's the secret of the sanctuary that it plugs you into the Word of God. Amen. There's a secret of God's salvation and God's steadfastness and God's statutes. There's a secret of God's strength. David said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In the midst of all the lies that were being told, in the midst of all the ways cruelty had been poured out upon his life, David said, I had fainted. I felt it in my soul. Had I not got from the house of God those secrets that had been concealed from me, I would have fainted. I wouldn't have made it. Somehow, in the land of the living. Let me remind you, there is no land of the living out there in the world. The land of the living is where God's people gather in at. That's the land of the living. David said, I had fainted unless I had seen the goodness, believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And it stirred him with such strength that he is able to say to his own soul and to you and I all these thousands of years later, just wait on the Lord and be of good strength and courage. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. And I tell you what coming to church does. One of the secrets of the sanctuary is it taps you into a strength that is absolutely supernatural and divine. It is the strength of Almighty God that will keep you sustained when you got to go back out in the world tomorrow and live your life amongst a bunch of heathens. You hear about all their parties and their drunkenness and their fornication and all the ways they beat and banged it out all weekend long. That begins to weigh heavy on your life and all the other things that are being bombarded in your mind and life. I'm telling you, we can remain strong if we'll stay tapped in to the secrets of the sanctuary. Amen. Well, I hope that's a help to us tonight. That's the burden we had on our heart. Amen. I'm thankful this evening for my church. Thankful for a place I can come and hear from God and know God and get plugged in. The secrets that are known in this place, And it's not just you sitting on the pew. You got to plug into it. You got to plug into it. Somebody said, I don't get nothing out of it. Well, that may mean you don't have no relationship with God, or you just are not willing to plug in and get a hold of these things that God has for us. Amen. But if you'll show up and say, Lord, I'm desirous of one thing, and that is you plug me in to every secret you have for me, concealed and hid for me in this place, you'd be amazed what you get out of church. Amen. I understand we don't always all show up jumping pews and swinging from lights. Amen. I understand sometimes we're wore out physically and it's hard, but I'm telling you, if you'll show up with any kind of desire at all to say, Lord, I need to see your beauty. Lord, I need you to speak into my life while I'm here today. Lord, if you don't, I'm going to faint. Lord, if you don't, I'm going to slip. Lord, if you don't give me what I need today in this service, Lord, it's going to be all over. You know what I found? When we approach it that way, God is so faithful to minister each one of these things to our life exactly how we need it, the secrets of the sanctuary. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the word of the Lord and the truths of it tonight. I want to thank you tonight that we're not deceived. Lord, I know there's many tonight that would seem maybe arrogant, Lord, dogmatic, that we would dare to claim such a thing. And yet, Lord, we have confidence that that is so. Lord, we're glad it's so. Lord, we could be in some false religion tonight. We could be lost and on a road to hell, believing some lie some man has told us. Lord, you have taught us from your word, and you have taught us from the gospel, and you have taught us with truth. And Lord, we know it's so because it's changed our mind and it's changed our life. And Lord, it's been so relevant and Lord, so personal in our life. Lord, just when we've needed it, as David has talked about it in this psalm, and we're thankful tonight for those wondrous truths. Now, Lord, I pray that you be with us tonight. Help these that have gathered in. Lord, there may be some here tonight that is yet to really truly be saved and born again. Lord, these secrets, Lord, are something that are detached from their life that they know nothing of. Lord, I pray that you'd help them this evening. Lord, their life is still lived in sin, lived doing everything contrary to the way God has said to do it. Lord, I pray this evening the conviction would fall upon their life. That, Lord, they'd be saved and brought into the secret of the tabernacle, hid from the wicked one, the devil, and all his snares. Lord, a place where the child of God, Lord, is saved from sin and judgment, hellfire and damnation. Lord, I pray you'd do a work in sinners' lives tonight. And then, Lord, for the child of God, just send the help that they need this evening. Lord, I pray as we preached about the church, may we cherish it. And Lord, hold it as something so valuable and important to our life. Lord, I know anybody who's saved can say amen to what's been preached tonight, that the church is vital for our survival. Lord, I pray this evening we'd leave tonight more thankful for it than we've ever been before. We'll bless you, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.